to the Shepherd Thoughts Podcast, an audio resource that encourages biblical thinking for biblical living as we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, our Good Shepherd. For more episodes and other helpful resources online, visit shepherdthoughts.com. And now, here's your host, Pastor Thomas Overmiller.
Welcome to episode 115 of the Shepherd Thoughts podcast. We're continuing our series on the office of a deacon in the church. We began by looking at identifying the office of a deacon in episode 113. Then we considered some biblical qualifications for men who may serve as a deacon in the church. We looked at Acts chapter 6 for that, but now we're looking at 1 Timothy chapter 3. You see, as churches multiplied in those early days of church history, the need for more specific qualifications for deacons developed. So in a letter to Timothy that provided instructions for proper church protocol in general, Paul provided such a list in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 through 13. This list continues to serve as a standard set of essential testimony qualifications for deacons today, enabling congregations to recognize qualified men in an objective manner. These qualifications do not replace the initial qualities given to the church at Jerusalem, but neither are they different, really. They elucidate and clarify, expand those qualities instead. First, to be a deacon, the individual must be a man. Now, men certainly qualify to hold this office. However, some propose that women may also do so, and not without warrant. For instance, Paul names a lady Phoebe as a servant of the church in Cenchrea in Romans 16, verse 1. Furthermore, the word that our English translations render as the wives of deacons may easily be translated as women in general. So likewise, the women in 1 Timothy 3, verse 11. On the same basis, some churches appoint both men and women as deacons. Now, in theory, there's nothing wrong with that. Both men and ladies do play a very vital, central, important role in the church. But we need to look at the words of Scripture and see what they say. And it seems more probable that the office of deacon is reserved for men only, since they are required to be the husbands of one wife and ruling their children and household affairs well. We see that in 1 Timothy 3:12. Moreover, if Paul intended to distinguish female deacons, he could easily have used the word for a deacon, diakonos, and accompanied it with a feminine article. If that's what he was doing, referring to a female deacon, there was another way of saying that that would have been clear. So that would have translated as female deacons rather than the women or the wives of the deacons or so forth. But Paul used the generic word for women and wives, gunakos. So as with pastors, deacons must also be men. Furthermore, if a deacon is married, his wife must meet certain biblical qualifications as his wife. This man should be reverent. This quality suggests that a prospective deacon must be a serious-minded person who approaches life and ministry in a dignified and purposeful way. He should be neither frivolous nor aloof, but earnest and winsome in his interaction with others. His lifestyle should be worthy of respect and emulation. His worship should be wholehearted, faithful, and sincere. Another way of looking at this is this man, 1 Timothy 3 says, must not be double-tongued. Deacons interact, of course, with people throughout a church and community and in homes and elsewhere. In doing this, they intercept many sentiments and perspectives from people. Therefore, it is imperative that they do not say one thing to one person and another thing to someone else. They must be counted on to relay accurate information between parties and to sincerely express their own perspective. A single-tongued deacon, then, strengthens the unity of a church, while a double-tongued deacon spreads discord and division. This man must not be given to much wine. Deacons should be men who give no attention to intoxicating beverages. This principle applies to other mind-altering substances as well. Deacons must be disciplined men who think clearly and rationally. In fact, Paul depicts being influenced by intoxicating drink as the direct opposite of being filled with the Spirit, a crucial quality for deacons. We see this in Ephesians 5:18 and Acts chapter 6. Ultimately, though, this commitment to abstinence guards both a man's public reputation and his ability to make sound decisions on behalf of the church. A man to be deacon must not be greedy for money. Deacons handle the financial affairs of a church firsthand by receiving, allocating, and disbursing the funds, and will be tempted to use their office for personal advantage. This requires the absence of any personal conflicts of interest regarding financial gain. No prospective deacon should manifest a tendency, desire, or need to improve his own financial standing or meet his own financial needs through his position as a deacon. Evidences of such a conflict include excessive debt, wasteful spending, extravagant living, workaholism, financial dependency, unemployment due to laziness, gambling and playing the lottery, tax evasion, and questionable business practices. Prospective deacons should be faithful, content, and impartial stewards in the financial realm. They should be committed to a pure conscience. Paul teaches that deacons should hold the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. 1 Timothy 3:9. Mystery here means a secret that has been revealed. The faith refers to the content of the Christian faith, especially the truth about Jesus Christ, which has been revealed in the gospel. So, a prospective deacon must be a man who applies the truth of the gospel consistently and conscientiously to all aspects of his life, morally and otherwise. To do this, he allows the gospel to train every aspect of his conscience so that the choices he makes in daily life correspond to the kind of genuine godliness revealed in Christ. Deacons must be men who cherish the gospel and reject worldliness, believing that the gospel is both a hallowed message and a holy calling. They do not separate their lives into separate compartments, secular and sacred. They believe that all of life is sacred and must be governed by the gospel. They match their lifestyle to their beliefs. This is a man who must be proven. A church should not appoint a new convert to the office of a deacon, nor should they appoint a man with whom they are not familiar. We learn the importance of this by noticing the word first. Paul said that prospective deacons must first be tested. So before a church appoints a man as deacon, they must test him first, verifying his character. To rush forward and disregard this stipulation will lead to unfortunate results. Too often, such a man will either hurt the church that appointed him or become hurt himself. There are so many stories of this. Over time, the churches should train and mentor men to fulfill deacon qualifications. And when the need for new deacons arises, they should select from among those men who have proven themselves to be reliable over time in an unofficial capacity to serve in the official capacity as deacon. Well, a prospective deacon should also have good family relationships. This qualification encompasses the domestic reputation of a prospective deacon as a husband and as a father. Though this does not require a deacon to be married or to have children, this domestic experience of being married and having children certainly gives a man an advantage of increased perspective, experience, and maturity. That being said, it is also true that unmarried men are more available to do the work of the Lord in an undistracted way, 1 Corinthians 7:32. Regarding marriage, a prospective deacon must be, it says, the husband of one wife. Technically, the wording there is a one-woman man. This requirement prohibits polygamy and divorce, along with any other marital infidelity of record. Though divorce does not disqualify a Christian from faithful, fruitful service in the church, it provides onlookers with public permanent targets for accusation. For this reason, at the very least, deacons should be free of this accusation of divorce. They should also be free from any reputation of immorality. the nature of a deacon's ministry requires then that his wife also, if he's married, exhibit certain qualities of a godly woman and helpmate. Like her husband, she must be reverent, serious-minded about life and ministry, should be definitely free from any tendency towards gossip, insulting language, false accusations, and hurtful speech. Furthermore, she should conduct her life in a balanced way that demonstrates clear thinking, emotional stability, self-control, and freedom from intoxicants like alcohol. Altogether, she should be a reliable and trustworthy lady in every way. In addition to his marriage, then, a prospective deacon should demonstrate competency as a father. If he has children living under his care at home, this is the case. He should guide his family in such a way that his children respect his leadership and follow his instructions. This qualification is especially important because the home provides the truest test of a man's character.
This has been another edition of the Shepherd Thoughts podcast. For more episodes and other helpful resources online, visit shepherdthoughts.com. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ enable you to devote your heart and mind to biblical thinking for biblical living. Thank you for listening.